Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Wednesday, March the 7th. And we will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Rauner Welcomes Ravini State Incentives Detailed. Today, Governor Bruce Rauner welcomed Ravinia Automotive to Illinois. State officials finally detailed their incentives that helped to bring the company to Normal's former Mitsubishi Motors North America plant. Ravinia, which operates research facilities near Detroit and San Francisco, but plans to make Normal the manufacturing core of its upcoming line of electric cars, will receive state tax credits worth roughly $49.5 million for the creation of 1,000 jobs over 10 years, said Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity spokeswoman Jacqueline Renke. Quote, it is a tax credit assessed to the income tax for the created jobs, Renke said. Quote, it takes into account the salary of those positions and the amount of jobs created at the end of each year. That's the estimated amount for 10 years of tax credits, depending on their performance and them hitting their benchmarks. The credits are through the state's EDGE, or Economic Development for a Growing Economy program, which is intended to help create local jobs. Ravina also is in line to receive $1 million from the town of Normal and a 5-year property tax abatement, both also based on performance. The abatement was approved by taxing bodies that receive property taxes from the plant, including McLean County Unit 5 Schools and Heartland Community College. Ravina bought the plant for $2 million in January. That figure does not include any personal property, including the contents of the plant, and the plant's to begin manufacturing electric cars there in 2019 to bring to market in 2020. Rauner received a tour of the plant before addressing local officials and media on Tuesday, saying, quote, this is a great day for the people of Central Illinois, and this is a great day for the people of all Illinois. He goes on to say that the plant is an incredible asset. And now, thanks to the creativity and hard work of an American innovative entrepreneur, we have an opportunity to create a better economic future for hundreds and hundreds of people here in Central Illinois. Rauner said he hopes that entrepreneur Ravinia CEO R.J. Scaring also can help bring other automotive companies to the plant and, quote, create an ecosystem of innovative and great new products in the automotive field. He also thanked Ravinia for its early interest in community partnership, including using the plant to teach science, technology, engineering, and math students at local schools. Scaring thanked Rauner for his part in bringing the company to Normal and recalled how his interest in the facility, quote, very quickly transitioned from us looking at this as a building full of equipment to this being our future home. He goes on to say that what we immediately started to see as we got to know the community is this was more than just a plant. He said the energy and philosophy of Normal was so in line with how we view the world. Both also acknowledged a task force of local officials who worked for 18 months to find a new user for the Mitsubishi plant, led by Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council CEO Kyle Hamm. Normal Mayor Chris Koos, part of that task force, said, quote, this day promises a future of many more exciting announcements, end quote. He paused to note that the plant is now named for Ravinia and that it will be quote, the name going forward, obviously. Rivina's values and brand perfectly align with our values and brand in Normal. We look forward to you exemplifying everything we believe, he said. We challenge you to challenge us. Rauner also unveiled an official proclamation welcoming Rivina to the state, and RJ's taking a risk. It's going to take time. There's going to be challenges, Rauner said. We as a community will try to do everything we can to help him overcome the challenges to make Rivina hugely successful here in the state of Illinois. And on the web, there are pictures of the pantograph, from the pantograph, and we have here by David Prober pictures of the CEO, R.J. Scaringer, and Governor Rauner, and Representative Dan Brady from Bloomington during a news conference Tuesday. Also have a picture of Governor Rauner and the CEO scouring, touring in a golf cart, and then a picture of the Governor Rauner speaking before the group. Here locally, we have David Gills launches a sixth bid for Congress by Allison Petty. David Gill, a five-time congressional candidate, announced Tuesday that he plans to run again as a Democrat in the 13th District in 2018. Gill of Bloomington ran as a Democrat in 2004, 2006, 2010, 2012, only the last of which took place within the district's current boundaries. He attempted to run as an independent candidate in 2016, but that bid ended after he was unable to get his name on the ballot. In a phone interview Tuesday, Gill, 57, emphasized the close race in 2012 between himself and U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, the Taylorville Republican he would face next year. Gill earned 46.2% of the vote compared to 46.5% for Davis. Independent candidate John Hartman of Edwardsville received 7.2% of the vote. Gill says, I think it's about time that I finished what we started in 2012. He works as an emergency physician at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City and also occasionally in Chester, Illinois. In a statement, Davis spokesman Ashley Phelps said Davis welcomed a healthy debate but was focused on governing with nearly 20 months until the next general election. He's working to tackle the major issues like giving our broken health care system tax reform, fixing our broken health care system, also tax reform, student loan debt, and creating more confident economy by investing in infrastructure and reducing unnecessary regulations, she said. As to why he announced so far in advance, Gill said, people are speaking out now about disappointment with President Donald Trump and with Davis. Quote, there's a lot of people who are looking for someone to stand up and take his place, Gill said. Gill called off his independent bid for Congress in October after collecting fewer than 8,500 of 10,745 valid petition signatures he needed to earn a spot on the ballot. He filed a lawsuit challenging the state's signature requirement. A federal judge ordered the state Illinois State Board of Elections to allow Gill on the ballot, but the U.S. Seventh Court of Appeal, Circuit Court of Appeal, subsequently blocked that order. Two U.S. Supreme Court justices, Elena Kagan and Anthony Kennedy, denied his request to have the higher court step in. Gill's previous campaigns in 2004, 2006, and 2010 sought to represent the 15th Congressional District, which changed boundaries with statewide redistricting in 2011. In those races, he faced U.S. Representative Tim Johnson, a Republican from Urbana. It seems like everybody wants to talk about three hopeless campaigns in a district where no human being with a D after their name could win, Gill said. I don't apologize for those, but I don't think they're pertinent to anything. And we'll take a stop here. Again, in the area of government and politics, Bloomington announces no plan to restructure the Metro Zone. This is presented by Maria Nagel. Mayor Terry Renner said Tuesday the City of Bloomington has no plans to resurrect the Metro Zone agreement with Normal, but there can be talks on jointly promoting economic development. Normal Mayor Coos said Monday the town doesn't consider the 30-year-old revenue sharing deal with the West Side dead, despite the Bloomington City Council's 7-2 vote last week to terminate it, retroactively to December 31st of 2016. Coos said he hopes the cities can continue to meet privately to discuss amending the agreement. The part that we don't agree on is whether the Metro Zone is still in effect, but I don't want that to be a sticking point for us to not talk, said Renner on Tuesday. Renner said there could be a joint meeting of the city councils after April 4th municipal elections to discuss, quote, a new economic development strategies. Normal officials contend both cities need to vote to terminate the deal, which had no expiration date. Bloomington officials say they can back out legally. However, because the deal had no end date, Coos said Tuesday afternoon he hadn't yet heard a response from Bloomington to Monday's Normal Council, the City Council discussion, although Renner, Ward 9 Alderman Jim Fruin, and Ward 8 Alderman Diane Howman attended the meeting as spectators. As of Tuesday, no Bloomington alderman had filed paperwork to ask the council to reconsider the February 27th vote, which would have to be done at the March 13 meeting, according to Bloomington City Attorney Jeff Juergens. Quote, I may be wrong, but I don't think that there's going to be anyone on the prevailing side to first make a motion to reconsider, nor anyone to second it, said Renner. Alderman also may act to repeal the decision at some future meeting, said Juergens. Since 1986, the agreement called on the cities to equally share expenses and revenues in a commercial and industrial district on the west side of the Twin Cities. But Bloomington officials argued the agreement favored Normal by $1.2 million per year recently and by a total of $7 million over its history. Coos on Monday did not rule out the possibility of legal action in Bloomington if Bloomington doesn't return to the bargaining table, though he denied Renner's claim that Coos said in 2014, we will sue you if the city opted to end the Metro Zone. Coos' take later was, we might sue you, said Renner on Tuesday. I am not going to dispute whether he said they would sue us or might sue us at this point. It's just not productive. Renner said he is hoping that after the election for both mayors and several seats on both councils, that we can circle back with each other and figure out what that new post-Metro Zone economic development strategy will be. Renner has suggested that future economic development talks center on a more regional approach that's consistent with the BN Advantage initiative, which involves local community leaders, both mayors, in an effort to grow the entire local economy. Renner said that based on what he heard Monday night, he thinks the two cities are not that far apart on the issue. Normal, even though they still think Metro Zone is in effect, has said they want to sit and talk about the economic development strategy. We will use this in the future, said Renner. Last on our front page is WikiLeaks reveals CIA files describing hacking tools. This is by Jack Gilliam and Ralph Sader of the Associated Press. WikiLeaks published thousands of documents Tuesday described as secret files about CIA hacking tools the government employs to break into user computers, mobile phones, and even smart TVs from companies like Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Samsung. The documents describe clandestine methods for bypassing or defeating encryption antivirus tools and other private security features intended to keep the private information of citizens and corporations safe from prying eyes. U.S. government employees, including President Donald Trump, may use many of the same products and internet services reportedly compromised by the tools. The documents describe CIA efforts cooperating with friendly foreign governments and U.S. national security agencies to subvert the world's most popular technology platforms, including Apple iPhones and iPads, Google's Android phones, and the Microsoft Windows operating system from desktop computers and laptops. The documents also include discussions about compromising some internet-connected televisions to turn them into listening posts. One document discusses hacking vehicle systems, indicating the CIA's interest in hacking modern cars with sophisticated onboard computers. WikiLeaks has a long track record of releasing top-secret government documents, and experts who sifted through the material said it appeared legitimate. The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Devin Nunes, Republican of California, said he was very concerned about the release and had asked the intelligence community for more information about it. Former CIA Director Mike Hayden told MSNBC he had undertaken only a cursory review of the documents, but that if they were what they were purported to be, it would amount to a, quote, very extensive file of the tactics, techniques, procedures, targets, and other political rules, end quote, under which the CIA hacks targets. Again, quoting, if it is that, it would be very, very damaging. Jonathan Lee, a spokesman for the CIA, said, quote, we do not comment on the authenticity or content of purported intelligence documents, end quote. White House spokesman Sean Spicer also declined comment. Missing from WikiLeaks' trove are the actual hacking tools themselves, some of which were developed by government hackers, while others were purchased from outsiders. WikiLeaks said it planned to avoid distributing tools until a consensus emerges on the political nature of the CIA's program and how such software could be analyzed, disarmed, and published. Tuesday's disclosure left anxious consumers who used the products with little recourse, since repairing the software vulnerability in ways that might block the tool's effectiveness is the responsibility of leading technology companies. The revelations threatened to upend confidence in the Obama-era government program, the Vulnerability Equities process under which federal agencies warn technology companies about weaknesses in their software so they can be quickly fixed. It's not immediately clear how WikiLeaks obtained the information and details in the documents could not be immediately verified. WikiLeaks said the material came from, quote, an isolated high-security network, end quote, inside the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence. But it didn't say whether the files were removed by a rogue employee or whether the theft involved hacking a federal contractor working for the CIA, or perhaps breaking into a staging server where such information might have been temporarily stored. The archive appears to have been circulated among former U.S. government hackers and contractors in an unauthorized manner, one of whom has provided WikiLeaks with portions of the archive, end quote, WikiLeaks said in a statement. Some technology firms on Tuesday said they were evaluating the information. Microsoft said it was looking into the report, while the maker of secure messaging app Signal said the purported CIA tools affected users' actual phones and not its software design or encryption protocols. The manufacturer of the popular Telegram mobile messaging app said a statement that the manufacturers of cell phones and their operating systems, including Apple, Google, and Samsung, were responsible for improving the security of their devices. It said the effort will require, quote, many hours of work and many security updates, and assured its customers that if the CIA is not on your back, you shouldn't start worrying yet. The tools described in the documents carried bizarre names, including Time Stopper, Fight Club, Jukebox, Bartender, Wild Turkey, Margarita, and Ricky Bobby, a race car driving character in the comedy film Talladega Nights. That Ricky Bobby tool, the documents said, was intended to plant and harvest files on computers running newer versions of Microsoft Windows and Windows servers. It operated as a, quote, a lightweight implant for target computers without raising warnings from antivirus or intrusion detection software. It took advantage of files Microsoft built into Windows since at least 10 years ago. The files include comments by CIA hackers boasting in slang language of their prowess, quote, we know we got the dankest Trojans and collection tools, one reads. The documents showed broad exchanges of tools and information among the CIA, NSA, and other U.S. intelligence agencies, as well as intelligence services of close allies, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. WikiLeaks claimed the CIA used both its Langley, Virginia headquarters and the U.S. consulate in Frankfurt, Germany, as a base for its covert hackers. The AP found that one purported CIA hack that imitates the domain name system, the Internet's phone book, traced to an Internet domain hosted in Germany. In an unusual move, WikiLeaks said it's withholding some secrets inside the documents. Among them, it said it withheld details of tens of thousands of CIA targets and attack machines throughout Latin America, Europe, and the United States. WikiLeaks also said its data included, quote, a substantial library of digital espionage techniques borrowed from other countries, including Russia. If the authenticity of the document is officially confirmed, it would represent yet another catastrophic breach for the U.S. intelligence community at the hands of WikiLeaks and its allies, which have reportedly humbled Washington with the mass release of classified material, including from the State Department and the Pentagon. Tuesday's documents purported to be from the CIA's, quote, embedded development branch, discuss techniques for injecting malicious code into computers protected by the personal security products of leading international antivirus companies. They described ways to trick antivirus products from companies including Russia-based Kaspersky Lab, Romania-based Bitdefender, Dutch-based AVG Technologies, F-Secure of Finland, and Rising Antivirus, a Chinese company. The new Trove programmers also posted instructions for how to assess usernames and passwords in popular internet browsers like Microsoft, Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, and Mozilla Firefox. Some documents were classified secret or top secret and not for distribution to foreign nationals. One file said these classifications would protect deployed hacks from being, quote, attributed to the U.S. government. The practice of attribution or identifying who was behind an intrusion has been difficult for investigators probing sophisticated hacks that likely came from powerful nation states. To finish out this segment, let's look at the Flick Fact question of the day. Two of Bloomington Normal's leading developers in the building boom of the 80s and 90s were Jack Snyder and William Bradley Brady Sr. Can you name the area in Bloomington Normal where only two blocks separate streets named after the two BN real estate pillars? And the answer is, for the Flick Fact, on Bloomington's southeast side, just east of Mercer Avenue and south of Oakland, is Snyder Drive. Two blocks away is Willadrobe Road, named after Brady's three sons. Bill, the current state senator of Bloomington, Ed, and Bob Brady. That's our Flick Fact for today. Here's another thought for today. Contemplation seems to be about the only luxury that costs nothing. That was from Dodie Smith, an English playwright from 1896 to 1990. And as we get ready to close, we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday. And I need to correct one fact. This is for Wednesday, March the 8th. I believe that I said the 7th at the beginning of the hour. So we will be taking a short break, return for the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, March the 8th, 2017. Please stay tuned.